Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Draft Doctors. Thanks for listening, and we wish everyone a happy Easter. Just on top of the show, before I announce Steve and the Statesman, apologies as we are recording this on Sunday, and we will not be talking about the Hawks and the Cats game, but we need to get the waivers out for you, the listeners, for Monday. So to kick that off is Steve. Welcome, pal.
How you doing, Jono? Yes, it's been a good Easter. I had two eggs this morning, or Sunday morning. That was good.
And welcome to you, Statesman.
Yes, g'day, gentlemen. Firstly, I need to apologise to TWR. During the week, he asked who he should select from McMillan or Cutler. Both Steve and I picked the Cuts, which is the right solution. But McMillan got his 65, and I think he'll be averaging just under 70 this year. And Tommy Cutler got 3 and a hamstring strain. But that one disposal, was it 100% effectiveness?
You just heard from the Statesman, Tommy Cut gone down with an injury, but not as bad as Harley Bunnell, kicked off a flight to the Gold Coast for being intoxicated. Got on the grog from Perth to Melbourne, then Melbourne to Gold Coast. Not a bad effort.
Now, seriously, would Fremantle Football Club like to see him actually go to the Gold Coast again?
He was on club-approved leave, so it was all good. They just said he's dealing with the frustration of not being able to play football, and they gave him a few days off, but didn't expect him to get on the grog like that.
But so he was still frustrated.
Very frustrated. Do you reckon we'll see him play footy again?
Hope so.
Yes.
You want to see him play. But a few other injuries coming out of the week. Travis Cloke, 4 to 6 weeks with his broken ribs. It's been confirmed. Didn't look good on the weekend, but you had Cloak and you're streaming him 4 to 6. Tommy Boyd went out with that delayed concussion. Might miss a week, but it's a wait and see. Steve May, we said pick him up off your late week pickups. Went down with a hammy, and he looks like he's out for 3 to 4 weeks. Michael Barlow said on AFL game day yesterday. Michael Barlow himself did a hammy, but played through it, but said he'll be fine. Dave Swallow did take a knock, but again, he'll be fine. Charlie Cameron did a hip flexor in the fourth quarter there on Saturday night. So I had to wait and see to what happened there. And as we saw, Tommy Cutler with the hamstring, again, a bit of a wait and see for Tommy Cuts. But we are talking our waiver wire pickups. But before that, if you want to follow us on social media, you can check us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors or at Statesman33. Check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. Steve's Daily A Dozen Deals is dropping each week now on, and there'll be articles throughout the year dropping off. But we're talking waiver wires, and when we do talk about waiver wires, we're talking 65% of ownership or less, just to give everyone a bit of a fighting chance, depending on how your pools are. If they're shallower, deeper, there could be better talent or less talent there. But to kick us off, Statesman, who have you got as your waiver wire pickups this week?
Yeah, number one, I've got Clay Smith for the Western Bulldogs, drafted by 26% and owned by 32%. Tough inside mid come forward and can score. Although unsure who's in the best 22 at the Doggies, but honestly, who does, to be quite honest? They've got so much depth there. But he's certainly one I'll be sitting there on the right matchups. I'll be putting him on the field the rest of the time, sitting there in emergencies. The next one, which is a bit of a surprise, but he's been scoring well, but a blinder this week, is Travis Collier for Essendon, another forward. Drafted by 39%, owned by 51%, scored a ton against Adelaide and averaging in the mid-80s. I think it's 86.8 currently. Has pace and has also improved the use of the footy, which was probably one of the knocks he previously had. Although he'll never be an elite forward, looks like at 25 he's hitting his peak and would be good for an F4, F5. So pretty solid scores all the way through. At number three, I've mentioned him before, Neville Jetta from Melbourne. Drafted by 5%, owned by 65%, so right on the cusp. Had a bit of a slower week this week, but loving the new game plan. And I think it's a bit of a result of their style of play. When the team is up and running, and now they're going to get Hogan, and they're only another week away from getting Lewis back, I think they're going to be on top of the majority of opponents. It'll only be your GWSs or your major elite teams that they'll struggle a little bit. So when the team's going well, Neville Jeddah is going to sweep really well and rack up those points. So peeling off his opponents and being creative and attacking. So should average in the high 70s, early 80s. Number four, George Hewitt, Sydney. Sorry, Steve.
Oh, I was just going to ask on Jeddah. We're looking at Hibbard coming back soon, and I would suspect that he's the guy who has to compete for that spot. What do you think about that?
I think it just gives him more space to get a bit more freedom to move up the wing. So I think Hibbard's going to play pretty deep, and I think that's what they need him to do. And it's, so you've got at the moment Salem, who actually started on the bench during the week, which is a really good sign for Jeddah, because Salem's actually being used as their extra midfielder, so actually dropping back and sweeping back as well. So I think there's going to be three players that are used behind the football. The only question mark is how they use Bernie Vince, and I thought Bernie's form was actually pretty poor in the week. So if they're going to make calls and decisions, I think Bernie's going to be the one to go, because Salem, Jeddah and Hibbard are actually going to be the future of that defence.
I just wonder if Hibbard's even a walk-up start.
I think you're right. I think their plans were pretty switched on, but they've actually created two players like it, which is Jeddah and Salem. So they've ended up getting, you know, three doesn't work into two that well. But I think they're the future. So I think the club, where they're standing, will actually play those two and keep developing them. And Salem's playing magnificent footy, and he's not being discussed in here because his ownership is right up. And so it should be. He's averaging around the ton. Next up is George Hewitt, Sydney, drafted by 5%, owned by 53%. Forward averaging in the mid-70s and unlikely to lose his position when some of the talent return. And I can see the three Fs, Fox, Foot and Florent, will be the first to leave when you get your Heaneys, your Rampies back into play. So I think George Hewitt is actually going to be a solid scorer. He's only owned by 53% as we speak. Another one that I've mentioned before, rate him highly, and I think he'll get dual position a little bit later on, is Connor Blakely. And I think his actual position in the team has only got more secured now. Frio made the decision to go down the youth side. And I think that youth looks fantastic. They've gone the youth for 2 weeks. They've had two wins. Connor Blakely is a big part of that. You'll actually see Mundy, Fife and Neil all spending a fair bit of time up forward so they can blood these new players like your Gray, your Blakeleys, through that midfield shot. And Lockie Weller's playing magnificent footy before. I think I raised him about 4 or 5 weeks ago. Just a mini U champion there, boys. I needed a bit of encouragement after the week. Points per minute gun, Connor Blakely, and his role at half forward rotating through the mids. He's going to rack them up. He had one really poor game where he scored 17, which has knocked his average down a little bit. But I think for the remainder of the season, he'll average between 80 and 90. Last but not least is a player, again, that I've mentioned a couple of times, in Luke Dunstan. Looks like he's got a great role. I think St Kilda are now almost at full strength. I think they've got one more player to come in, and that's Jack Stevens. And I think the more the players come in, the freer Luke Dunstan's actually going to be. Drafted by 50, owned by 56. He's scoring solidly. I think it was a little bit quieter today, but a perfect bench option for your field. And the right matchups, that's where they're going to rack him up. So keep Luke Dunstan, especially if you've got him in a keeper. He's going to be a big-time scorer down the future.
Well, that's some terrible analysis on Luke Dunstan.
I know you hate the man. That's why I keep bringing him up. It's just there. It's actually under. Just to annoy Steve, mention Luke Dunstan again.
Hey, if it was Belton Rain, I'd say pick up Luke Dunstan, but... that's about it.
It ain't going to be raining too much under that Etihad roof.
It does not.
True.
Steve, who are your waiver wire pickups for this week, mate?
My number one pickup is any Essendon defender you can find. They're playing Collingwood next week. And if you followed our advice and picked up any St Kilda defender, you'll know Dylan Roberton and Who else? Who was the other guy?
Gilbert.
Gilbert went well. No, the other guy. His name escapes me right now.
Brown.
He's a great player, that guy. That guy is awesome.
Jimmy Webster. Jimmy Webster turned up.
Yeah, he did too.
All the, you know, Nathan Brown cracked 50. That's how poor is Collingwood giving up defence to Essendon. So if you can find McGrath or Bagley or anyone, yeah.
And seriously, Jack Billings, what a game he's had today with 119. Just pray, because I've been praying for those couple of forwards to score me some points. And they're both sitting on the emergency bench, so I haven't got those scores this week. But if we could tee up and find a way that Jack Billings can play Collingwood week in, week out, I'll be a very, very happy boy.
Mate, I played a bit of daily fantasy today, and trust me, Jack Billings and the St Kilda defenders made me a little bit of coin, so very, very handy there. Coming in at number two, actually comes in at 67%, so just a little bit over, but it's Charlie Dixon playing Carlton, and he deserves to be owned. He's playing pretty well this year. Carlton, we see they're still giving up a lot of points. Tom Lynch, sticky fingers, and just kicked truly on the weekend, so I certainly think Charlie Dixon's got a score in him. My third pick, Dane Rampey, only in 41% of teams. We know he's a quality player. He should be coming back in the very near future. They certainly could use a quality small forward, because Nick Smith's just getting blown up. So I think he's a pretty handy pickup, especially for your Supercoach leagues. Another defender, Aaron Mullett from North Melbourne. We mentioned him last week. 20% ownership. He looks pretty handy across that half back line and probably scoring the way I thought Jamie McMillan would have at the start of the year. So he's been a handy pickup. Statesman's boy, Lockie Weller, still only 50% owned. Did play nicely on the weekend. They're playing North over in the West this weekend, so you'd think the pace of these younger guys at Frio should spell doom for the North plotters. And, yes, mate?
Now, I just need to mention that Dane Rampey is out for another 6 weeks with his arm.
Oh. On top of the seven that was 2 weeks ago. Well, seven, went to seven.
It's Jared McVeigh that's due to come back, who might be on low ownership.
All right. Scratch Dane Rampey. Get Nick Newman. Not sure of his ownership, but he's just as good, trust me. Midfielder for my last pick, Jared Pollock. Only in 55% of teams. Again, playing Carlton. He scored terribly against GWS, as an outside midfielder does when your team gets smashed in the clearances. But I think that Ollie Wines and Brad Ebert should lay waste to the Carlton midfielders. And, you know, another fact from that game, Jackson Trengove going up against Mummy wasn't exactly a great thing.
Pretty sight.
So hopefully Ryder's back and can jump all over Matty Cruiser, who looks like he's starting to slow down a little bit. And, Jono, one of those articles you mentioned on the website should be up tonight, Monday night.
Yes, certainly will be.
What to do if you've started terribly?
Yes, absolutely.
We know there's some teams out there who are battling at 0-4 or just gone to 1-3. There's certainly some strategical moves you can make, and we'll certainly lay some of those out in an article on the website at thedraftdoctors.com.
.au.
There you go.
My late lead pickups, waiver wise. My number one, he's slightly over our 65% at 68. Brandon Matera. Is that fool's gold or is he the real deal?
Jono goes straight Jono doesn't actually have any that come in under 65%.
No. Research. No, it's a fail.
It's only 3%. I mean, so it's still in the bracket.
And the answer to your question is yes, he is the real deal. And if you actually go through the AFL prospectus for almost 5 years, Fantasy Freako has been calling his breakout to come every single one of those years. Hugely talented, and credit to Rocket, because obviously leaving him out in the team in the first place at the beginning of the season was a bit of a spur, thinking that the player just expected to get in the team and was just doing what he needed to do. It's got him fired up and has got him working really hard, and he's showing his talent. And he's always been extremely talented and was always planned to be one of the elite forwards in the competition. So he's actually showing it now. So, yes, I think it's real.
Yeah, no, I only seen the highlights of the Carlton Gold Coast game, but thought he was fantastic. So 68% of leagues, still a good chance he's there. Certainly not in any of our listener leagues or keeper leagues because I checked and he's gone.
Ditto.
Next I want to talk about is Cam McCarthy. Been watching Freo the last couple of weeks. They're getting the ball inside forward 50 a lot quicker now. The Freo Dockers, only owned by 20% of leagues. So he's a great pickup. He's scoring the 90s. His accuracy is just off at the moment. He's not holding the marks as well. But when you spend 12 months out of the game, you've got a little bit of rust in your system. But once that gets out, he's going to be great for your keeper leagues. And I think he's going to be that spearhead for the next 10 years at the Freo Dockers. Just got to get rid of that shocking mustache and man bun for me. The next one I will talk about is Harms from Melbourne. Only owned in 59% of leagues. Looked really good on the weekend again. Got that speed to burn off the half-back line there. As Statesman said, Bernie Vince could be that one to make way for the rest of the defenders. But with who'd you say was coming back? Sorry.
Hibbard,
that's it. So with Harms there, Salem and whatnot, just running out of that half-back line, Harms is there at 59%. I don't mind it, scoring quite nicely. And I've got another one of your boys there, Statesman, which is Jake Barrett. Only owned at 33%. Absolutely killed it in the NEFL on the weekend. It was up to 74 Supercoach points at halftime with 10 tackles. Didn't see the end score, but from all reports on social media, absolutely brained it. So should come straight back into that side next week, you would imagine. That wraps up my waivers for this week. But if you do like the show and love listening to it, you can do that by checking us out on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Please do leave a review. We really appreciate it. If you do leave it, we'll read it out on the air. Helps our brand. And do hit that subscribe button. So I really appreciate it. But now we are moving on to just a bit of a review of the round so far. And to kick us off is Statesman.
Yeah, start off with the West Coast Eagles and Sydney Swans a game. Luke Shuey continued his form with 132 and 127 in Supercoach. Elliot Gunn, 116 and 141. And isn't he enjoying playing on the halfback line? Matt Prittis back to doing what Matt Prittis does, 105 and 107. Jamie Cripps, which is another one that just popped over the 65% on the waiver wire, I think he's at 67%, is worthwhile as a forward, scoring 98 and 79 in Supercoach. Gaff a little bit quieter with 97. Sherrod Wellingham continuing his good form with 88. I think he's been a great pickup for those that took the plunge, and out of him and Tui, he's been the big winner because they were the two that were getting pumped up after the JLT. Over to the Sydney Swans, one of Jono's boys, Jake Lloyd, 110 and 98 in Supercoach, performing really well and is really the Sydney Swans' best player right now. JPK, 107 and 113. Luke Parker, reasonably quiet with his 86. Lance Franklin, unfortunately, got a corky in the first quarter. Otherwise, he would have been a good captain choice. Sorry, just saving a bit of skin
nice
there, gents.
Nice pop out there.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? still scored 81. Dan Hanbury, 79. So a bit of a drop back from Dan Han, but I think that reflects where the club is going. Zach Jones and Nick Newman both scored in the 70s this week. Over to the Dockers, and the boy was back. Lockie Neal, 119, and Supercoach, 140. Kicking four goals, one, spending a fair bit of time up forward. And let's just say it was the plus 12s that got that total up there. It's an interesting move that they're making, that the three-gun midfielders in Neal, Mundy and Fife are spending so much time up forward. Mundy himself kicked three goals straight for his 111 and 121 in Supercoach. Cam McCarthy, that Jono mentioned just before, 96 and 100. Sandy really didn't have too much opposition, let's face facts. Only pumped out a 95 and 91, so it would have been disappointing for those that wanted a big score out of him in Supercoach. Nat Fyfe played okay for his 95 and 107 Supercoach. Not too much more to mention other than the great young man himself, the great Tassie boy, Lockie Weller, played quite well for his 83 and 84 respectively. Connor Blakely, 75. And Harley Balick, who we mentioned off the waiver wire a couple of weeks ago, showed his true form because his first game wasn't fantastic. But 73 in both formats is a great score for someone that was only getting 60% game time. So well done to Haley Balick, and I think he's going to be a magnificent player over time. Next team is Gold Coast Suns. We just talked about him. 159 in Supercoach Braden Matera and 138 in Dream Team. Handsome Tom got 132 and 161 Supercoach for his 7 goals straight. What a magnificent performance that was. Don't draft me, Ablett Jr., 118 and 99, playing quite well. Jack Martin's hit great form with 109 and 110. Braden Farini also played pretty well. I can see him squaring away. And a big disappointment for the day was Aaron Hall, who played really well, only got 98 in Dream Team, and he was my captain in the Keeper League. So that upset me a little bit because he should have scored more than that. To Essendon, the younger Merritt, 134 in Dream Team and 120 in Supercoach, was fantastic again. Travis Collier, who we talked about before, 124 in Dream Team, 119 in Supercoach. Zaharakis scored really well in Dream Team and quite poorly in Supercoach, 111 and 71. And that's because he amassed up 6 clangers during the game. Brendan Goddard played well again for 106, 117. Joe Danaher, who we wrote an article about earlier in the year, is starting to perform well at 98 in Dream Team, 89 in Supercoach. And a big rap for the young kid, number one, Andrew McGrath, 90 in Dream Team, 97 in Supercoach. That boy is going to be a player. He shouldn't be available in any keepers, but if he is, just pick him up, square him away. I'm sure Warney will be a little bit disappointed, but Brett Stanton's just not playing great footy, and I don't think he's going to get the DPP as well. So maybe Stanton's on his last legs, unfortunately. Sorry,
yeah, it doesn't look like Stanton's going to get that at all, and isn't that just the gamble you take when you draft these blokes?
Absolutely.
Certainly is.
Moving on to the Brisbane Lions, the game's still currently being played. It's early in the fourth quarter, and I will say I'm playing against Warney in the podcast league this week, and all I needed was Rockcliffe to remain under 120, and my players over this tomorrow's game should get me across the line against Warney. But Rockcliffe, early in the last quarter, is already in 129. So he's way back up to his big, big scoring. And isn't it interesting that he scores so big when Brisbane are losing? When they're really competitive and in the game, he's not that involved, which is an interesting thought process to go through. Game time, he's playing a little bit more. He's close to the 85% game time, which is the most he's played this year. 146 currently in Supercoach too. Be interesting to see if that gets corrected on the way up. Next up, we have Zorko, 121 in Dream Team. Rockcliffe's just popped up to 133, so congratulations, Warney, well done. Mitch Robinson, 89. Steph Martin, 85. Daniel Rich is continuing his much better form, so he's improved out of sight over the last 2 weeks. Sam Mays on 73, Daniel Rich on 74. Gentlemen, that's a wrap up with my teams.
Thanks for that, Statesman. Steve, want to run through your teams, please?
Yeah, just also note Tom Rockliffe's time on ground's probably up because they're down a rotation because Tommy Cutler screwed us all.
You want me to get that salt out for you, mate?
What are you talking about? I'm just. It's not going to cost me a league. It's not costing me a league at all. There's no chance. All right, so we'll start off with Carlton losing to the Gold Coast. Mark Murphy dominated again. Sam Doherty, very good. Jack Silvani, I thought he was fantastic. Turned up in Dream Team. Somehow didn't turn up in Supercoach. Got completely ripped off despite going at 100% efficiency. Unbelievable. Fake news. Trelaw gate rears its head again. Levi Greenwood with three snags is pretty good. They really had great pressure through the first half and were very competitive in the game, but then just completely fell apart. And I thought it was really interesting. In the first half, Wietering was playing forward and looked good, had a goal, and then they shifted him to defence because Tom Lynch was tearing them to pieces. And yeah, it slowed Lynch down, but it sort of took out their best, like their main forward target. I know Casbolt bopped up with a couple, but I don't know. I hate the whole swingman thing, especially with young players. I think just, you know, if you're going down this play him as a forward role, play him as a bloody forward. I mean, look at Michael Hurley.
Well, we saw it with Michael. Right, I was about to say Michael Hurley.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, just let him go. And just a quick point. Mark Murphy is killing Cripps' scoring. I know they said he had a bit of a knock. He was sore leading into this match. But Cripps had 25% of Carlton's clearances last year, which was clearly the league high. There was only one other person at 20%, and that was JPK. This year, he's not even going at the team's high. So all those contested possessions are just out of his game. He's at about 15%, which is pretty good. In fact, if you get 15% of your team's clearances, you actually should score pretty well based depending on your game time. But he's just not finding, and he doesn't find the uncontested or transition ball. So that's just hurting his scoring unbelievably. So interesting on Paddy Cripps. On to North Melbourne. Well, it's Jack Zeebel. Who knows? We always know the injury affects the punishment, so we'll be really interested to see what happens there, because if Travis Cloak didn't break his ribs, it's probably nothing. But another honourable loss. They're a well-organised team. I think Brad Scott's got them playing pretty well. They just don't have the match winner to get him over the line. And I thought Sean Higgins actually had the chance to be that person this week, and he just sort of wasted his chances. Ben Cunnington's playing well, maybe losing all that weight, got his speed up, but he's still got very low time on ground, which is baffling. Ben Brown with the four snags, nice. I think they could definitely use Jared Waite up forward. Goldie was the main man back in the ruck, so that situation is kind of fluid. Maybe we'll see Bruce out of this team when Waite returns, but that's interesting. Higgins was wasteful, and they just are what they are, aren't they? You sort of know what you're going to get out of the Roos, that you're going to get a good, honest performance, and they'll jag a few wins, but they probably just lack that bit of class, and you can see why they want to spend big bucks to get Josh Kelly down there.
What do you think of Andrew Swallow?
He was fine. He played pretty well. That was probably his best game for the year, I would have thought.
Do you reckon he spent a little bit of time down defence? If he ever got DPP in defence, would you look at him?
If he did, I would, but he's not going to get it. Mm. He's been, to be honest, that's when
I've watched. Probably be North, his last year, you think?
Well, when I've watched North in previous weeks, he's probably been more wing forward, to be perfectly honest. So anyway, on to the GWS and Port game, which was. I'm watching these GWS games every week, and I'm just getting bored to tears. It's just like the most even spread, and they've just been wearing teams down and just blowing them out in the last quarter. Scully, 97% time on ground. I mean, my God, the points per minute even matter
not with him.
That's key position type numbers. Mumford dominated Trengove as he was always going to do. Had a massive Supercoach score again. Johnny Patton, nice game with six snags. Didn't reach the Dream Team ton because goals don't matter. Toby Green with four goals was pretty handy, but again, not big fantasy scores. They're just so even. Josh Kelly was interesting for this alleged amazing user. His Dream Team scores have been massive, but didn't even reach 90 in Supercoach, so. Just really interesting, I think. And the guys to miss out this week were Callan Ward, Jono, who you traded for during the week. That was a great deal.
Great deal.
And old lunch meat Devin Smith missed out as well, despite he actually had a pretty good first half, I thought, but he still didn't put the score up. And on the Port
still
side...
Still better than Motlop.
Well, that's yet to be seen. Motlop could go 140 tomorrow. The big stage, it's all set for him. He might be a laid out also.
Last year, but... when he was on the grog on Easter weekend and played the Hawks and went 132, I think it was. Watch out.
And on Port, they were just smashed in the clearances and contested ball. No Paddy Ryder, no Ruckman, basically. Understandable. No fantasy tons. Robbie Gray looked like he was having a few stints in the midfield. Chad Wingard did early as well, but I don't know about Chad, man. He's just... They got too many guys who are just the guy, I reckon. Like there's Chad, there's Westhoff, there's Dixon, there's Young, and they all seem to be kind of... And Robbie Gray as well, especially forward. They don't seem to be guys who work for each other. They're more about winning it themselves, which is kind of interesting. Jasper Pittard was good. First game back, but we know defenders score pretty well against GWS. So, yeah, just, I don't know. I mean, they were just beaten by a better team, and that's kind of where Port are. They're somewhere in the middle, I guess, by the looks of things. Any comments, boys? Didn't see that one.
Now, it's interesting with those top teams right now that they're just getting a real even spread. There doesn't seem to be any major point scorers for them. And GWS is a classic example where they're having a few decent scores, but it's never a consistent leader.
Yeah, it's going to be really hard to captain these guys, I think. Like, if they're your second and third midfielders, yes, fantastic, especially for guys like Scheel whilst these other midfielders are out. That's great news for him and Kelly. But it's just going to be hard, especially with your Toby Greens and Devin Smiths up forward, I think. On to Collingwood, which...
Get your vomit bags ready, people.
Yeah, a bit of self-harming watching that one today. Just ping-pong. So Dream Team scores were pretty high up in this game. Poor skills, and they were flat as attack again. They can win in the midfield. It's amazing that people bag their defenders, but when the ball just gets slingshot down that way time after time after time, they're going to get burnt. It's just how it is. The ball use going inside 50 is just deplorable. Brody Grundy was fine, worked his backside off. Steel side bottom had a big score in Dream Team, 61 in Supercoach compared to his 109 in Dream Team. Jeremy Howe and Taylor Adams were huge. Taylor Adams had a massive first half. Scott Pendlebury looked slow. He put in one really piss-weak effort where one of his teammates was bending over to grab the ball. And he was between, Pendles was between a St Kilda player running into tackle him. He just stood out the way looking for a handball receive. And the guy got mown down, and it was a shot on goal for St Kilda. I couldn't believe it. Just dysfunctional forward line, bad entries. Keep using defenders against them because they're just going to motor. It's quite unbelievable. I mean, people say they've got no game plan. They've got a game plan. It's just they don't have the talent up forward to execute it, unfortunately, for Collingwood. And lastly, Richmond, who are still playing. Watched the first half before we started prepping up for the show, but that was just fast, clinical in transition. J-Roo was going pretty nicely, as you'd expect. Sean Grigg was having a Sean Grigg kind of game, as he does against this sort of opposition. Dusty was getting tagged by Mitch Robb, and his scores were down as a result. Dion Prestia was back a little bit, but it was just an even spread. In this sort of match, they were winning the ball and they were sort of sharing it around. Don't know what the scores are updated to now, but I would imagine there's maybe one or two guys at the top and then the rest are all about 85.
Yeah, pretty much. J. Roo is 94 Dream Team, 116 Supercoach. Sean Grigg, 108 Supercoach, 97 Dream Team. Prestia, 80 Dream Team, 96 Supercoach. So, and then, yeah, the rest, 70s, 80s and 90s.
Just a very nice even spread. Yep, fast is fast, and Richmond are doing that
pretty well. I'm gonna with my games. I've only got the four because I do Hawthorn and Geelong, who play on Easter Monday. So apologies for that. But a quick wrap up of that game. Danger was excellent. Selwood was fantastic. Got to put on the line. Isaac Smith actually did something.
No.
Burgoyne. Burgoyne, he's in my team. I need him. He just won fantasy football. So well done.
Can you do me a favour, Jono, and just keep it to three teams? Let's not talk about St Kilda today, please.
They are very quick, so that's fine. But starting with the Doggies on Good Friday, Luke Dalhouse scored massive in both formats, but 8 kicks and 24 handballs.
Pressure acts. 14
free kicks. 3 frees against as well. And a couple of goals. So Adam Treloar, maybe do that pressure act and your scores will increase, buddy. The Bont did what Bont needed to do to turn up in both formats. 6 tackles was very good for him. Went missing for a little bit, but came back. I thought Liam Picken was fantastic after copping that concussion last week. We have seen it before where a player does get concussed, that their scores dramatically decrease. Didn't affect Liam there, with 100 in Dream Team and 112 in Supercoach. Lockie Hunter. Oh, my God. What the hell is happening to him? He's been good in Dream Team, but Supercoach, not so good, and was actually tagged on the weekend. So they really must – you can't sell him because his worth is going to be absolutely nothing. So do you wait? Sorry.
You know what he's worth, Jono? Palmer.
Yeah, well, how did Jack Viney go against
I know I owe you one for that one, but
man, we cancel Higgins, each other out.
Yeah, I'm happy with that. But Sean Higgins would have won it if he wasn't such a hack with the ball inside 50.
Yeah, that's right. And a good thanks to our mate Costa for reminding me that about that one as well. That's true. Moving on to the D's, it was a great game until about half time, and then third quarter, Freo just went absolutely crazy, kicking 7 goals to nothing. Jeffy Garlett was fantastic, kicking 3 goals, turning up in both formats with 8 tackles, 131 Supercoach. His pressure was fantastic. Please kick that up, Jeffy, because I do like watching you play. Clayton Oliver, absolute stud. He's going to be a fantasy beast for years. If you've got him in your keeper league, you are laughing all the way to the bank as a captain option. I'm actually using him as a captain in our keeper league, so he averaging over 100, which is fantastic.
Two.
Absolutely, mate. Jake Spencer was actually pretty good in Maxi Gorn's absence. Great, even though he got beaten in the hitouts to Sanderlands, I thought he was fantastic. He was fine. Turned up into Supercoach only in 77 in the Dream Team, but if he came up against a lesser ruckman, he's a big body, can push people around, he can score you quite well. So pick him up if he's on your waiver wire, people. And Nathan Jones, his scores were affected because he was heavily tagged by Connor Blakely, so he'll bounce back from that, and he's been going quite well. Moving on to the Crows, absolutely destroyed Essendon there on Saturday night. Eddie Betts, 6 goals from him, leading the Coleman. He was fantastic. Stuck it up to all the people who called him a race, for those racist comments, so good to see Eddie doing that. Big Texan. 5 goals, 10 marks, turning up again in both formats, going really well. My captain choice, Rory Sloane, absolutely killed it again. 143 Dream Team, 124 Supercoach. Pat myself on the back on that one for the captain choice there. Sauce Jacobs, going really well. We had our concerns about him throughout the JLT series, but going fantastic. But speaking of JLT, we were asked earlier in the year, who is our new Heredia Lumumba? Gotta say, it's Curtly Hampton. Been quite disappointing since round one. Only scored us really well once, and that was last week. But if you got him, might look to pull him or use him as a plug and play sort of player, but not too good for Curtly Hampton. And for the Saints, I've got a long list here, Statesman, so we'll be a while. Jack Billings, fantastic.
Just miss one, please.
No, Jack Billings, number one. If he kicks straight.
You know who I mean, just don't mention him.
Nick Rewalt? Is that the one?
No!
That was a great trade there. If you didn't know, what is it? Nick Rewalt is the Statesman's kryptonite, basically. Always performed well. Wasn't looking too good at the start, but second half, the Saints came alive, and it was a great trade. For 1 week only, we hope, between, between our listeners there.
We got big cocks.
That's it.
Names are written down. I took names, and I'm going to name names.
There we go. Billings' scores could have been much bigger. Kicked the 1 goal, 4, and his disposal efficiency wasn't great. So he'll fix that. Played very well. Jack Nunes, enjoying Jack Stephen not being there. Scored the 1-4. When I wrote it, was on the 1-14 Dream Team. played really well, and Dylan Robinson just marking everything in defence. It's actually, and as I said earlier in the year, with Jake Carlisle coming in, he's been able to peel off and mark everything in defence. So if you got Dylan Robinson, you'd be loving it at the moment.
Absolutely.
We're not playing Collingwood every week, boys.
That's true.
That's true, but he has been scoring quite well.
Oh, no,
he was averaging 90 before the weekend.
He's been great. Mm. He's been great.
So St Kilda to play Collingwood every week.
Oh, please, God, no. Well, I mean, Collingwood got to play someone, so. Defenders, hoy! It's our new Brisbane, streaming against Brisbane.
Big time.
Yeah. Hey, John, I just wanted to throw you under the bus quickly, because we've had some dodgy trade offers thrown out through the leagues, and we get a bit riled up. But I just want to focus on you for this terrible trade offer. Mm. After what was it, Thursday's show, when I said pick up Lockie Whitfield, you've gone into our home league's pool, scooped up Lockie Whitfield, and offered him with Bernie Vince to me. Now, mate, if I wanted Lockie Whitfield, I would have probably done it 20 minutes before you ever knew about it.
That was a joke, mate. That was a joke.
If I said yes, sure. You would have. If I said yes, you would have taken that deal.
I was deep in alcohol, so I can't remember what it was. I know it was Bernie Vincent Whitfield, but who do I want? Was it
Lunch Mate? He's not even worth a packet of Tim Tams at the moment.
Hey, no.
How about Devin Smith for Lockie Hunter?
Hey, what if Devin Smith left at the end of the year when his contract's up this year? Yeah, he'd go down to Collingwood and hack it up down there.
Hoskin Elliott and Taylor Adams.
Boom. Get the boys back together.
That's it. All right, that wraps up the show for this week. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you do want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, at The Draft Doctors or at Statesman33. Check us out on Facebook, search The Draft Doctors there, or check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. And please do subscribe and review to iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud. Good luck, everybody, and we hope you had a win in your leagues, and we'll see you on Thursday.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.